Nice to be back at Frio again, my Pastor Nigel. Can you welcome me? Ah, so good. All right. So, who feels like they are getting stronger this year? Give me a wave. Feel like you are getting stronger. Whoa, that's good. About 70%. The others, your time's coming. So I want to help today. And so if we can turn to our Bibles, let's just go to our scripture for the year, or one of the verses for the year. There's stacks of scriptures on strong and being stronger in God. And I just want to go back to our original scripture, Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their... They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And so this is talking about older gentlemen as well as younger ones, or older, more senior women compared to younger ones. And it doesn't matter. Who knows that whatever age we are, we can still get stronger. Oh, some of you are not sure. It's a part of being physical this year, yeah. All right, so number one, bit of a recap. Wait on God. Turn to your neighbour and say, wait on God. Who enjoyed waiting on God just then? Good, hey? Waiting on God. So I sincerely believe that God wants to take you to where you haven't been before. Who knows, that's part of God's nature. And we're talking about mounting up on wings of eagles. I was saying at Wellard last week that I watched this documentary, and there was a sloth, you know, one of those really slow creatures, sloths. And the sloth was climbing up a tree to try and get the eagle eggs from the nest. But the eagles weren't going to have any bar of it, and they kept coming and smacking the sloth on its head with its talons, and eventually the sloth decided it wasn't worth it and climbed back down again. Who knows that we can look after one another more than we are right now? Who knows that with God, that there are things that come against us, and sometimes sneakily, maybe even slowly, and they are meant to rob us of our strength. But when we hold on to God, that we will actually grow stronger and we will mount up on wings like eagles. And some of the things that are causing us pain or causing us to go off track, and sometimes we don't even know it, I want to address this morning. Because I know that God has plans for you and I that are greater than what we have right now. And there are areas of your life, if I was to prophesy to this congregation today, that God wants to see. You can't see right now, but God's taking you through things that you thought were never going to be possible. God is taking you to new ground. And so eagles are known for their strength and their courage. Turn to your neighbor and say, be strong. And so we have four areas we're going to concentrate on this year: prayer, the pathway, pure, and being physical. And some of us may need to work on some of these more than others. Andrew and I had a discussion that can we, during the week, not eat any junk food? Who thinks that's a good idea? All right, so there's some stuff that we can actually help one another with this year. And so Isaiah is describing, we're going to go into this more later in the year, but Isaiah is describing that you and I, as we wait on the Lord, we gain eagle characteristics. And so we can all be more courageous than we are right now. We can all let go of some fears. And we can be defenders of those things that we know are rightfully ours. God has given us things, and there is an enemy that wants to take them away, but through Christ in our life, we can stand firm. And so God did not create you to be a passive bystander in life. He created you to have purpose through knowing Him. And so I want to set our lives up this year to prioritize Him. And that you have to have a deliberate action to meet with God. It doesn't just sort of like God just sort of wanders and He's there. Who knows that it takes something on your part. And so let me name a few things, a few people in the Bible that did this. You know, Abraham waited until he was 100, well, Abraham and Sarah, to have a son. Then God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. Yet somehow, through all that, he hung on to God. He knew what it was to relate with his Lord. It is estimated it took Noah 55 years to build the ark. He then had to assemble all the animals of all kinds in twos and all the clean animals. There were up to seven pairs. That in itself was a feat. And then there's all the men and women going, "What do you think you're doing, Noah? 55 years." And they're mocking him. Who thinks they could have that kind of strength? My goodness. Who knows that with God we can do anything? Some of you aren't so sure. Let's try that one more time. With God you can do? Elijah had a time of prolific idolatry, and he remained faithful to God and wasn't afraid of any king on the earth. And he boldly did what God commanded him, and fire from heaven totally extinguished the altar, even though there was a huge amount of water around it and everything else. And his God was shown to be victorious through him. Isn't that what we want for our lives? That it's not about us, it's about bringing glory to our Lord. And so Daniel's a man that we can honour our life after. When the decree went out that no one could pray to any other god, Daniel opened the windows of heaven and just continued to pray like he always did, three times a day. And he actually said, "I am praying to the one true God. I thank you, Lord, that we worship and we pray, and what we did today, we are honouring the living God." Psalm 69, David says, "Let me be delivered from those who hate me, O Lord. Let not the floodwaters overflow me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good." David was solid and just. He sought out God daily for guidance and help. What about our friend Job? Persevered through the most dreadful circumstances. He lost all of his children. He lost all his cattle, his servants, at the same time. What did Job do? You can read it for yourself in Job chapter 1. He kneeled down and he worshipped the Lord. And through his faithfulness, God restored Job more than what he had before. And so in the most dire of circumstances, hold on to God, keep worshipping him, because God has a way through for you. And he will restore in your life. And sometimes God just takes us on a journey of faith to see how much we really trust him. And in the end, he reveals his miracle. And so, Andrew and I moved to Fremantle in 1995. Some of you weren't even born then. And we believed God had called us to plant a church in the Fremantle area. I worked my own business for quite a season. And longer than I expected, if truth be told. I remember that our family car was an old Ford Laser, bright blue, with a hatchback, and the gas struts were gone. It always used to bang on my head when I used to open it. I used to get a pole too. And I remember when we started at the tennis club, and I would put out the signs myself each week, and I would take the sound system in the old car. I would take the speakers in and set them all up. I was the sound person, the preacher. Sometimes I was the worship leader. Sometimes I'd even look after the kids. And it was just like Charlie looked up. Okay, all right. But you get the picture. I think sometimes I did actually under the stairs in the footy club. And, you know, we had unusual places we ran church. Kids zone under the stairs. Where's kids today? Oh, under the stairs. It was just... You know, Helen will remember. It's Helen up the back there. Let's give all our people that started the church with us a hand this morning. I knew David's job back then. David on the sound desk. I knew how to do everything. Now, if you ask me, I wouldn't have a clue, but I had to know. I had to know how to do everything. And it stayed like that for quite a while. But I can categorically, we just can't go, I know we say this a lot, but where's our Dom Sneak who was helping with the music this morning? 5 years of leading worship with Darlene Check on CDs. Who thinks that's a miracle? Good on you, Dom. I can categorically, and I know Andrew would say the same, we can categorically say that one of the best decisions of our lives was answering the call of God. Come on. Answering what? The call of God on our life. And so not everyone's going to be a pastor. It's okay. But all of us should be ministers of who Jesus is in our life. And so most mornings I would wake up, this is when things weren't so good and there was a few people in church, not too many, and it was like a connect group. And most mornings I'd walk through the Fremantle Golf Course and stand on a hill looking over the Fremantle City to the west and the east. We lived not far from the golf course at that time. And it was a time that I would meet with God. And in those times with God, it was always confirmed to me that we would own church property. I didn't have a clue how that was going to happen. But I'd walk up this hill to the highest point where the golfers would tee off. I can't remember what hole it was now. And I would always be confirmed to me that we would own land as a church in Fremantle. And then I would walk back down and I'd go on with my normal week. And I had my own business then and you'd get busy and do all sorts of things. And I would kind of go, how is this ever possible? How could we ever do this? We had a handful of people. I wasn't even sure in my own abilities. And yet God had put something in our hearts that has now come to pass. And we not only own our facility here in Frio, well, the bank owns some, but hey, we own our building. And we also have another facility in Wellard. And it would never have happened if I hadn't had a word from God who's waiting on a hill. Who knows it's good to wait on God? And so, you know, one of the things, I'm trying to talk about stronger for a moment here to give you a picture of holding in there with God. Who knows you can hold fast in God, regardless of what's happening in your life. I remember, because it was, you know, church was like 20, 30 people for a long time, a number of years. And my children were quite young at the time. As were Charlie's and Helen's. They used to hang out together because there wasn't any other kids, really. And when your children actually turn to you after church or during the week and they say, Mummy and Daddy, when is church going to grow? When is church going to grow? Oh, back up the mountain. People, the only thing we have that counts is our relationship with God, and we go back up the mountain and we wait to hear from God, and we know that He has a plan for us and that things will not stay the same. They are going to improve. And my son is in church leading worship this morning. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Secondly, other people help us see a better future. Isn't that true? Other people help us see a better future. Come on. We need each other. It's why we need to do church together. And when my kids said to me, Daddy, when is church going to grow? It was a trigger for Andrew and I to discuss what to do with other people. And at that time, Pastor John Finkelde, who was actually preaching at Wellard this morning, who's coming to our team meeting on Tuesday night, you do not want to miss that. He was my direct oversight at that time. And we had recently joined C3 Church in the year 2000. And I remember John saying to me, you need, this is what he said. He looked at me in the eyes and he goes, you need to purchase your own facility. And I just went, what? Here's the thing. I wasn't particularly confident about our church's future at that time. And I'm sure the rest of us that were there at the beginning was the same. And when your little ones actually go to you, do you think we should keep going? But friends, help us believe who we are and take us to a whole new level. And so Jesus believed in his disciples. And when Jesus said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And what does it say next? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. He wasn't just speaking in the spiritual sense. Jesus and Peter were having a candid conversation. Who do you think I am, Peter? If I were to ask you right here, right now, who do you think I am? If I'm Jesus, who do you think I am? And Peter, without a shadow, just speaks it out. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Who knows there's power in those kind of words? And first, we know who our God is. How do we know who our God is? Because we are going up the mountain. Because we are spending time with our God. Second, we know who our friends are. Our real friends. Based on who we are in God, because they help us to get to a whole new level in Him. Isn't it great hearing how James has actually become part of the worship team and seeing him get stronger? It doesn't happen without great friendships. It doesn't help without saying, you can do this, James. You can do this, Sandy. Jared, you can do more. You can write your own song, son. When are you going to do that? You see, there are things that we won't do unless someone says, 132 days. For those of you who don't know, my son and his lovely fiancée are married in 132 days. I change the numbers every day. Okay. Seriously, we need one another. On this rock, Simon Bar-Jonah, that was his natural name, on this rock. Now, I've looked it up in their language. Peter and rock mean exactly the same thing. Some versions have stone, it's rock. I was reading that the Catholic Church recognises the Apostle Peter as the first true pope. Interesting. And the Pentecostal Church and the Evangelical Church would recognise Peter as the first great leader in the early church, certainly one of the greatest apostles of the early church. And here's the thing to recognise. Peter had messed up. Who knows that you and I mess up? Now, just in case you've forgotten, he denied Christ 3 times. And before that, he wanted to go running back to his fishing fleet because that's what he knew. He thought, well, I'll just go back to doing my business. But Jesus saw something great on him. Can we see something great on one another today? Come on. Give your wife or whoever's next to you, give them a bit of a slap and say, I see something greater on you than it's on you right now. Come on. That's right. You see, we know that because Peter gave this incredible long sermon, it says. It probably went all day long. I'd like to see that right here, right now in Western civilization. An hour and a half is pushing it. Anyway, they had this long. At the end of it, 3,000 people came to Christ. Charlie, you'd love that, eh? 3,000, one session. Thank you, Lord, that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so your strength increases greatly because another person believes you to be greater than you see yourself. And I would like this year that each of us has at least one person each Say it with me. Not your spouse. Not your girlfriend. Other than that, one other person that you would encourage to be greater than the person you currently see them as. And because, the thing is, they don't see themselves as greater. Often we don't see ourselves who we really are. John saw something on me that I at the time was just totally bewildered by. But now I don't have a problem going to the bank and saying, you know what, we need to negotiate this, this and this. Because now I have grown in that thing. There's nothing going to stop building the house of God if you hang on to C3 Frio Wellard. Because it's just an anointing that we now have. Can we stay on an upward pathway toward God? I was going to say trajectory, but I messed it up last time I said it. Got it right that time. See, Paul believed in Timothy. I believe in you, Vic. You're an awesome young man. You really are. You are going where, I'm telling you, man, I just love you so much. You're just an awesome guy. So good having you in church. Do we agree, guys? We've got to take our photo, don't we, after church? Another reason for me to be good. Anyway. Paul believed in Timothy. Let's read it, Philippians 2:19. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. Have we got that on the screen? The Passion? Well, here we go. Good. Yet I'm trusting in our Lord Jesus that I may send Timothy to you soon so I can be refreshed when I find out how you're doing. Timothy is like no other. He carries the same passion for your welfare that I carry in my heart. For it seems as though everyone else is busy seeking what is best for themselves instead of the things that are most important to our Lord Jesus Christ. You already know about his excellent reputation since he has served alongside me as a loyal son in the work of ministry. After I see what transpires with me, he's the one I will send to you to bless you. How highly does Paul think of Timothy? Answer? A lot, right? He's seen as incredible. He goes, wow, Timothy's my man. He's the one. He actually says he's the one. Timothy is like no other. He's the one. Can we be like that to someone else? Can we encourage someone? You know what? That's the one. He's the one. What a great compliment. And likely Paul and Timothy were somewhere between 20 and 30 years apart, the Bible reckons, somewhere in that bracket. Why does Paul like Timothy so much? This is a good thing to know. His interests are not on his own well-being. Everyone else is seeking what is best for themselves. So how do you and I grow stronger? Through the things that are most important to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will build my church. Come on. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because you are all rocks for the kingdom of God. Thank you, David. A little voice from the sound desk. That's right. I know he is not going to let you down. That's what Paul is saying about Timothy. I know he is not going. Wouldn't that be an incredible church? I know that Steve is not going to let me down. I know that Blammer is not going to let me. I know that Catherine is not going to let me down. I know that Andrea is not going to let me down. Wouldn't that be incredible? Do you know how much power there is in that? When we're in that kind of unity. And so our strength is found in Jesus, waiting on him, going up the mountain. Can we determine this year as individuals to spend some time with God? And second, our strength is increased through believing in one another. Can we believe in one another? And lastly, our strength remains through going up the mountain. Moses had a hard time with Israel. And the truth is that you and I are going to have a hard time with others in the church from time to time. It's just part of being in church. You can laugh, it's okay. Question is, what do you and I do when things aren't going so well in our relationships? We need to go back up the mountain. We need to get God's perspective. And in the book of Exodus, chapter, who knows that when we try, let's not even go there. I was going to, the truth is, we tend to get out of sorts and our emotions take over and God has a better plan in our relationships. And so in the book of Exodus chapter 19 onwards, Moses goes up to meet with God at Mount Sinai 8 times. Up and down the mountain. I'll give you briefly what he did. The first one, Moses ascends up the mountain, and if the people keep the covenant, God says to him, if the people keep my covenant, I will be their treasured possession. I will make them my treasured possession. Who knows that right here, right now, we are his treasured possession. Secondly, Moses goes back up the mountain to give his response to God. Yes, we will do as you say. So he goes back up. Yes, we want to do what you say. That's what the people say. And Moses and God are speaking up the mountain on the third time in preparation for the Lord's appearance to the Israelites. And there's thunder and there's lightning and all sorts of trumpet blasts are happening up in the clouds. The fourth ascent, Moses is told by God, don't let the people get too close to the mountain because my power is too strong and they won't survive. Fifthly, God promises to give the land of Canaan to Israel as Moses goes back up the mountain. Six, Moses is summoned by God and this time brings Aaron and his sons and 70 elders up the mountain, and they are tasked to rebuild and connect the 12 tribes of Israel and at the base of the mountain, and they make altars at the base of the mountain. And then things seem to go a little bit pear-shaped. Who knows that we are people and things go pear-shaped? Some of you. This is what happens. See, Moses is freaking out because while he's up the mountain, somehow all the people have convinced Aaron that they're to build a golden calf. And he comes back down the mountain and he goes, what are you guys doing? And he gets so angry, he's been given the tablets, the Ten Commandments. He smashes them and says, what's the point? You guys are just stupid. What does Moses have to do then? He has to go back up the mountain. What do I do with these people? Who knows when things go wrong in our life? We've got to go, oh, God. It's okay to do that. Some of you need to do that a lot from time to time. We all do. Who knows it's better to find the answer from God? This is what happens. Music team, please come. So he ascends back up the mountain, Moses, up the mountain. It's a big mountain, Mount Sinai, up the mountain. He gets to the top of the mountain and he's up the mountain. I did a funny about that, didn't I? Anyway, he's up the mountain. He says to God, you know what? I'd rather offer my life on their behalf. I'd rather offer my life on their behalf. And it is a type of Christ. It's showing what Christ was to do all these years later. That as Moses went up the mountain and spent time with God, he says, you know what? Please don't harm these guys. And that's what Jesus has done for you and for me. Can we stand in the gap for another brother and sister today? Can we be those kind of people and say, you know what? No, I believe in you. I see something. And as much as Moses and Moses, he'd have so frustrated with them over and over again. He smashed a rock, and I reckon I would have done more than smash a rock. But anyway, he did that. And he did some things. And yet, through it all, he didn't want anything to happen. He wanted them to see the promised land. Who knows that you and I are going to a better place? We're going to a land that is far greater than we have right now, and there's no more pain, there's no more sickness. We are totally set free. That's worth holding on to one another for. So he's up the mountain because he needed time to spend with God. He's up there 40 days. He comes back down and his face is radiant. It's glowing. And sometimes we need to go up the mountain and spend time with God so that we have an incredible supernatural power from heaven endowed on us so that we can get through our next week. So that we can go and talk with that person. So that we can encourage that one. So that we can lift ourselves out of the situations that we're facing in life. And so can we decide today to have an upward trajectory toward God? I'm going up the mountain. Who's with me today? I'm going up the mountain. So Father God, I pray that in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. Now before we